The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Curtis Silver Roof Studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. Welcome to this Tuesday afternoon edition of The Dory Monson Show. The things I got to deal with. So I'm sending an email right now because I'm afraid I'm going to cough on the air some today.
No, I was hearing a little bit of hacking.
Like that. So I don't generally catch colds, but I remember a few months ago we had some mice running around here.
Oh, boy, do I.
Yeah. I mean, it's all the rage of the station. We had traps set up everywhere.
Yes.
Well, they had gotten in some food that was under my desk, apparently, and I thought I had it all cleaned up.
Uh-huh.
But then at Christmas time, and truly I blame you for all of this, Nicole. My new malady that I'm suffering, because Nicole gave me a lava lamp for Christmas.
Nice.
Which was a lovely gift, because I find lava lamps to be mysterious and beautiful and wonderful.
Mesmerizing.
Mesmerizing. Yes. That's the word. But when we went to plug it in under the desk, we found another stash of where the mice and the food stuff.
Okay. I think the last time we had the mouse problem, though, we were all told to clear out everything, every food source.
I thought I had. I thought I had, but it was behind a box. I've got 25 years of my career stored under that desk. And
really,
so
that's true. There's that many boxes.
Yeah, yes.
I don't know how you had.
I don't have any storage here. And my wife would go crazy if I started storing more stuff at home because I'm such a hoarder. So anyway, Nicole, when we gave me the lava lamp, we discovered that there was yet another pile of this stuff, and I went and got a vacuum. I've been on my hands and knees on three different occasions vacuuming, and now I believe I have some lung disease from the mixture of food and mice. Now I'm writing to engineering and HR. And I think I need some, what's it called? Who does the environmental cleanup, the environmental?
Like a hazmat crew?
Well,
some version
lesser
of that, but
than
for,
that.
For an office environment where there might be some kind of.
Yeah, I think I need one of those guys and they have the little click meters.
I think you have a cold.
No, I can tell. I know what a cold cough feels like. I believe that I have.
I think you've worked yourself into convincing yourself that you've got like a little speck of something in your lung.
Are you suggesting that I'm psychosomatic?
Possibly, because I was going to tell you when I heard your dry cough that I have one too, and it's just a kind of a spasmic sort of thing, and there is something going around, and you might just have that version of it.
Well, I have a sore throat. I've been popping cough drops.
No, these are clearly the mites. That the rats, no, we didn't have rats, we just said little tiny mites.
They're little
but
guys.
These are the mites that they brought in, the parasites. Yes. And I believe that as we speak, I believe that in the dust that was swirling around my desk, that I somehow inhaled mice larvae. Do they come in larva form? Or mite larvae?
I don't know, maybe just for you.
And I believe that I now have a colony of parasites in my lungs. That's my belief as to why.
I can't wait to.
If people hear me cough today, I just want you to know that that's why.
I can't wait to hear the response from HR. We're going to make you boy in the bubble and just have you.
Jeez, do you know how much I would love that? If I could be the boy in the bubble. And not have to have
Sadly,
any contact.
I just realized as soon as they came out of my mouth,
that's my dream.
I gave you that idea. No.
Let's face it, Ursula. I already am the boy in the bubble here. I just don't have the plastic surrounding me.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. I mean, you know that's true. Nobody wants
anything. Anyway, I hope it's just the start of a cold that it'll recover from quickly.
Yeah. If you, based on my description of what has transpired, if you have particular expertise in this area that would be helpful in my eventual lawsuit, please text me at 98973. That's 98973. And I'll try to get this whole thing figured out. In the meantime, I'm drinking copious amounts of water.
That's good.
It's fantastic. It's my new thing. It's my new thing. All I do is drink water these days. Drowning. Okay, let's get right to, with that as mere prelude, our big lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
I did want to mention, if you weren't listening in the 2 o'clock hour of our show yesterday, we've been telling you that we wanted to, after this horrible bit of ugliness and darkness that came from this Capitol Hill restaurant business partner, Lana Kiyosofsky at St. John's Bar and Eatery, who celebrated the I'm not going to belabor the whole story, but she celebrated the accidental shooting death of a 9-year-old girl and her father in a hunting accident in South Carolina. And this Lana Kiyosofsky, in one of the most hateful, and to say one tweet can rise above the rest in hatefulness, but for somebody who's supposedly, you know, a respected business owner in Seattle, 1.5 less MAGA-billies in the world. She was gleeful that this daughter and daddy got shot and killed. We'll never understand the kind of hate that a tweet like that represents. And so I've been talking about it a lot. I've become obsessed with the story. I'm saddened. I'm sickened that the only time Seattle makes the news nationally is when we have drag queen strippers at homelessness conferences on the taxpayer dime, or we have heroin problem that's among the worst in the country, property crime that's among the worst, and then hateful people who celebrate the death of a child and father. And so we have done something, not for political purposes at all, just as a way to take Lana Kiyosofsky's words of hatred and try to flip them into love. And so we've printed with, we've arranged with the company that printed, MAGABILLY, hashtag MAGABILLY t-shirts. And we're sending all of the profits to the family. And if you were not listening when I had the mom of the girl who was shot and killed on the show yesterday, I hope Lana Kiyosofsky was listening. I hope she heard the description of the 9-year-old girl whose death she celebrated. Just tell me a little bit about Lauren.
It's hard to talk a little about her. She's a little of everything, to be honest. She was my prissy little girl, but she was my outdoorsy one, too. So, yeah, she did cheerleading, softball. She sung in choir in school. She met no strangers. She was a friend to all, for sure.
And despite the random, hateful missive from the Lana Kiyosofskys of the world, the mom was really touched by the kindness that has come out since her daughter was killed. What is it like to, out of this tragedy, know that Lauren is impacting so many lives in what I'm sure will be a positive way?
It's really incredible, to be honest. I knew, you know, she was amazing to me, but I didn't, you know, I wouldn't have expected for it to go nationwide like it has. So it's very, very incredible. She would have been very excited about it. She loved attention. So I think she's making her way around.
So we're just trying to do this in as positive way and to help out the family. So if you want one of those MAGABILLY t-shirts, just text the word love to 98973. That's 98973. And you can buy one of those shirts. They're $20 plus shipping. And all the profits are going to the family in South Carolina so we can send a message that we're not all hateful losers out here in Seattle and that the vast majority of us actually have human compassion when we hear about an accident that takes the life of a 9-year-old girl. Text LOVE to 98973. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, top story.
And now it is time to hold on to your bank account because we have a new radical city council in Seattle. We have an even more radical legislature in Olympia. And even though we are sending every form of government more money than ever before, per capita, adjusted for inflation. They're getting more money than they have ever gotten, but it's not enough. And what's happening down in Olympia on the first day of the session is absolutely chilling. Several lawmakers yesterday filed a brief with the state Supreme Court asking to have the ability to implement an income tax in Washington. Now, the state Supreme Court, it's their job to uphold the state constitution. And an income tax is a graduated income tax is unconstitutional in Washington state. So will the income tax get tossed, or do we have a radical activist Supreme Court that cares more about politics than it does the state constitution that they are sworn to uphold and defend? But know that the effort is already underway to get an income tax in our state. Now, lots of bizarrities with this. You have record tax revenues to Olympia right now. You also have Jay Inslee on his presidential failed run said Washington State has the best economy in the country. And there are ways you can make that case. And the only reason you can make that case in Washington is because we do not have a state income tax. Industries that pay high-paying jobs, high-tech, Amazon, they can only attract workers if you have no state income tax. No state income tax is also very attractive for the businesses. Now, they have a very high B&O tax and all of that, but it's a reason why our economy is doing so well. And now you have Democrats in Olympia that want to fundamentally destroy. And the stupidity of this, you look at states that have an income tax, California, they're going to lose a congressional seat because so many people have fled the state. And it's, you know, there are illegals coming in who are just getting welfare and food stamps. And there are the millionaires who are fleeing because on top of all the other federal taxes they pay, they also have to pay a 13% California state income tax. So if you make $1 million a year in California, you probably got to give about $400,000 to the United States Treasury, and then you have to give $130,000 to the state of California. New York State, exact same thing. People are fleeing New York. A state income tax is a horrible thing for a state economy. We'll talk more. Jason Mercier from the Washington Policy Center will tell more about the attempt to get an income tax in Washington. But I'm telling you right now, this is a story you must keep on top of. And I will as well, because you and I together, we must fight this off. And speaking of raising your taxes, up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, your tax dollars at work.
Jay Inslee did a Q&A with the Seattle Times, and he wants what's called a low carbon fuel standard, which is another increase in the gas tax. Now, remember this. They are trying right now to implement a tolling every road tax where you have to put a transponder in your car. They'll put in variable price tolling, and you will have to pay. I mean, it will hit families to the tune of thousands of dollars a year because their stated goal in writing, is they want to tax people who drive cars, which is most of us, and then they want to take that money and give it to mass transit. And I know you're saying, well, wait a second, didn't we just pass a $54 billion Sound Transit and we're paying for that with our illegal car tabs? Yes. Didn't we pass a Metro Transit and we're paying for that with our property tax? Yes. Now they want to tax every inch you drive. And they want that to go to mass transit. And why is that? Well, from the report from the Washington State Department of Transportation, and this is, you're not going to hear this anywhere else, and I'm going to credit, it's Maria Frost at Washington Policy who sent this to me. They say the WSDOT, why they want to toll every road, they say value pricing of roadway use and increased fuel taxes are difficult to impose. In the case of variable real-time pricing, we will have to introduce in-vehicle or other technologies. But then they say, however, imposing a charge based on vehicle mileage tax accomplishes two complementary objectives. Now, I want you to listen to this really closely. This is from a WSDOT document, and you're not going to hear about this anywhere else in the media. A vehicle mileage tax, tolling every road, accomplishes two complementary objectives. It encourages a reduction in vehicle travel, and it generates revenue that can be used to fund transportation alternatives to personal vehicle use. So, get back to my example that I cite all the time. When my girls were little, and I'd run a couple of them to basketball practice, and I would coach, and my wife would take one to piano, and then we'd trade off, and we'd pick them up at soccer, and we'd take them to choir. We're running around all the time. And when I was coaching, I didn't have time to take an hour and a half to get home from work when I can get home in 25 minutes in my car. And so they wanted to punish me because I'm a member of the community. Now let's talk about you. Maybe you're a tradesman. You know, you got your tools. You're a plumber, an electrician. You got your tools. You got to carry them. Can't use mass transit. Perhaps you're a salesperson. And you are calling on customers all day, but it requires you being there in person. They want to punish you because you drive a car, and they want to make it hurt. And then they want to take that money, and they want to pay for mass transit that will not work in the lives of suburban, family, active, community-involved people. Just doesn't work. Can't take an hour and a half each way to get to and from work. Does not work for my lifestyle. But that is the whole point of this. And that's another one we got to keep an eye on. And then Inslee also wants the gas tax. And they said, well, isn't that the low carbon fuel standard, he calls it. And the Seattle Times said, isn't that just a gas tax? And Inslee said, a penny. And it could go over time. Well, in California, it was 9 cents a gallon. So they want to raise the gas tax. They want to impose a tolling of every single inch of every single road. They want an income tax. Oh, yeah, 2020 is going really well around here. And that is your Big Lead.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Ursula's going to check the news. And then, because it is such an important issue, Jason Mercier from Washington Policy, he will tell us the very latest on the effort to implement an income tax in Washington. This is something every single one of you needs to know about. It's coming up next. Well, you better hold on to your bank account because as the City Council of Seattle has moved radical left, our legislature has certainly moved more toward the radical left, and now it is all about how much of our money can they get, despite record revenues to cities, counties, and states, and that's adjusted for inflation and population. We're giving them more money than ever before, but they want dramatically more. So in the city of Seattle, Sawant yesterday announced another Amazon big business tax, far more massive than what was overturned 2 years ago. At the state level, first day of the legislative session, Jay Inslee wants a gas tax increase. He calls it a low-carbon fuel standard. If it's anywhere like California, that'll add about 9 cents to a gallon of gas. And the push continues for the holy grail for Democrats in our state, a state income tax. And Jason Mercier from the Washington Policy Center, he has been keeping a close eye on all of this. Jason, I appreciate you coming on with me this afternoon.
Hey, Dory, thanks for having me on.
Okay, tell me what transpired on the first day of this legislative session in order for what they hope is a first step towards the state income tax.
We'll talk about starting session off on an ominous tone. Yesterday was the very first day of the 2020 legislative session, and about the same time the ceremonies were kicking off, we saw 15 Democratic lawmakers, a combination of senators or representatives, file a legal brief to the state Supreme Court, asking the Supreme Court to take the Seattle case, overturn over almost 100 years of legal ruling saying that income is property and that we own our income, and allow a graduated income tax without a constitutional amendment.
How in the world do they think that could be imposed without amending the Constitution?
Well, and this is where I'm hopeful that when the Supreme Court justices review this brief, they'll do the same exact thing that our Supreme Court did in 1960. This has been an ongoing effort since the 1930s when the Supreme Court made the very rational ruling that you own your income. And if you own your income under Washington's Constitution, it's property. And that means it is subject to the property tax restrictions. That's why we don't have a graduated income tax.
Right.
And since that time, there have been efforts to amend the Constitution. The voters have actually been sent 6 constitutional amendments to overturn that ruling to allow a graduated income tax, and we have overwhelmingly rejected those. So the situation has been where the voters are not cooperating. They make it very clear that they don't want an income tax. That has now left the advocates of trying to impose an income tax in Washington, trying to end run the voters, going to the courts and getting the judges to do what voters want. And that's what we saw happen with this brief. But in 1960, the Supreme Court had a very simple one-page response to these efforts. And they said, stop asking us. Our decision is our decision. If you want to graduate income tax, amend the Constitution.
Here's what I don't understand, Jason. As Jay Inslee was traipsing around the country, burning massive amounts of carbon fuel in his vanity run for president, he told everybody that Washington State has the best economy of any state in the union. And you could make some arguments for that. One reason that is so is because we don't have an income tax, and that makes our business climate very friendly. It makes it easier for these high-tech companies that pay six-figure jobs to attract workers into Washington. They use that as a talking point for why our economy is so great, and then they want to destroy it. And that makes absolutely no sense to me, Jason.
To reiterate the point you just made, our official Department of Commerce, the Washington State Department of Commerce, the official state agency that we charge with making the case for why you should do business in Washington, for why you should open businesses in Washington, they have a website that says Choose Washington, because you will be at a competitive advantage by not having any personal or corporate income taxes. I mean, we are advertising this fact about it, why it's a competitive advantage. And to your point about what it has meant for our tax collections, we have seen record revenue growth, consistent growth, stable growth. And the reason for that is the sales tax, the property tax, and the gross receipts tax, our three-legged stool, are less volatile than an income tax. And this is something that the bond rating companies recently pointed out when they increased our credit rating, saying Washington's revenues are relatively stable compared to other states because they don't have an income tax.
Well, there's another
There's
another dose of reality that they got to deal with here, and that is the fact that the states that do have income taxes, California has said such an exodus of people the last couple of years that California is going to lose a congressional seat for the first time in ages. New York State has had a tremendous outflow of people because of their ridiculously high state income tax. So that's the other factor of reality that these lawmakers in Washington don't even seem to want to deal with, and that is the states with a high income tax, they are losing people by the droves, and those people tend to be the highest achievers because they're the ones with the most mobility.
The perfect example of that, the last state to impose an income tax was in 1991. That was the state of Connecticut. Since that time, as you mentioned, people vote with their feet. People are fleeing Connecticut. It is losing population. And despite being promised that an income tax would solve every problem in the world, they're having impossible times keeping their budget balanced because of that income flight.
So when we have the 976 that passed overwhelmingly through almost all of the state, you had all those advisory tax positions on the ballot where the voters spoke loud and clear that they wanted a bunch of taxes repealed. on an advisory basis. So our lawmakers, they just decide they don't work for us anymore, apparently, that they're not truly a representative government. But who are they working for if it's not the people that sent them there?
Now, if you recall, when Governor Inslee first ran for office in 2012, he was asked, are you going to raise taxes? And his response was, I will veto anything that is in the wrong direction, and the wrong direction is tax increases. Now, we know how that has played out over the last several years, but this 2020 supplemental budget that he's proposed, it doesn't have any general tax increases in it. And he was asked, well, why aren't you pushing your capital gains income tax? Why aren't you proposing other tax increases? And he said, well, you raise taxes when there's a need, and we don't have the need. Our revenues are increasing. So hopefully the combination of the governors coming to the light on this, the election results, will help lawmakers understand in this short 60-day session there's not an appetite for tax increases.
No, there isn't. But we got to keep foot on the pedal because down among the legislature, they have an insatiable desire for more money. All right, we'll follow it closely. We'll keep alerting people if their legislature is about to do something that's economically calamitous for all the families that are listening right now. And as always, I appreciate your analysis and always being available to pop on with me, Jason.
Yeah, I'm happy. Thank you for having me, Dory.
All right, Jason Mercier, you can see his great work at WashingtonPolicy.org. And I'd love to hear what you think about all of this. You can text me at 98973. That's 98973. And we have lots more still to come here on the Dory Monson Show. I'll play you some audio in the Fastest 15. But at the National Championship College football game was last night, LSU and Clemson. And President Trump was there, and he walked out on the field with his wife, Melania, before the game, and the ovation was deafening. Now, these were two teams in the South. They were playing the game in the South, but it was a good reminder, once again, of the reality of America versus the absolute fakeness of most news. Once again, we have a study of all the network newscasts in the last 100 days, ABC, NBC, CBS. They were obsessed with the impeachment, which is a phony, go-nowhere story. Everybody knows it. Nancy Pelosi knows it. But they were all obsessed with that. And 93% of the coverage of the president was negative. And then these goofuses in the media, they wonder, why are we losing audience by the droves? Why does nobody watch the network newscasts anymore? And it's because your phoniness does not reflect America, where the president gets a rousing ovation. There are a lot of stories you could have covered that would have somewhat counterbalanced the 93% negative. The fact that Dow was up above 29,000 again today. We have just an absolutely robust economy, unemployment at all-time record lows for most demographics. A couple of days ago, middle-class, working-class wage growth showing some stunning growth. People are making more money year over year. And the networks, they can't report those stories because the only way that the Democratic candidates are going to bring them down, Trump down, is if they say, oh, yeah, socialism will work much better for America than the greatest economy ever that we have right now. And so they're trying to create this alternate reality so that they can help their buddies in the Democratic primaries. It's really bizarre. I mean, it's professional suicide. To, you know, the exchange with Iran. We take out a bloodthirsty, murderous terrorist who killed hundreds of our service people, and their response was a phony one to try to appease their own people. Net, huge win for America. But no, on the networks, all you're hearing is, Trump was responsible for that passenger plane getting shot down. I'm serious. Adam Schiff was on The View
The missile attacks that Iran took as a result of that strike could have killed dozens of our service members. And thank God that didn't happen. But the risk, I think...
By the way, I don't think Adam Schiff thanks God that that didn't happen. I've said this before. I think people like him, like Pramila Jayapal, and I know this is about the most horrible thing you can say about a human being, but just this is my honest interpretation of all of their words and actions and deeds since then. I think they know that that exchange was a win for America, and they would have been politically happier if we had suffered casualties in those missile strikes. So they could have said, see, told you so. I mean, and I know that's assigning a pretty deep darkness to their souls, but that's where I think they're at.
To our personnel has gone up, not down. And I don't think it was justified by the intelligence, at least not the intelligence that I've seen.
Okay, right. And the Ukrainians that you...
Like they're going to show intelligence to a guy who sat during the impeachment hearings and made things up about the phone call. Did a little riff that was completely rooted in nonsense. And the beat goes on. All right, Fast 15 is coming up next.